Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Might be the very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that express his reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Welcome, dear friends, to the Saucer Pod and Dog Poet Transmitting. I bring you salutations from the Sirius Cluster and the Arcturian Brotherhood. And note in passing that this week went by so swiftly that we did not even notice it was already Saturday and time for another one of these. As it so happens, we were reminded, and that is good if you were hoping there would be a rodeo broadcast, and mock nicks if you weren't or didn't care. In any case, here we are. The winds of rumors, inducements, deceptions, and enticements blow around the world in their courses, and their voices are filled with Trump and whatever those who inspire these winds intend for the unconscious but wide-open ears of the sleeping and dreaming masses. There are more of them than there ever were, because there are more of every kind than ever there was before, with the possible exception of the wise. Their ranks seem hardly to swell at all. Indeed, they seem to diminish, but we suppose that is simply how it is in times like these. The only time there is an increase in the servants of light is in times of greater light, and these are not such times. You might wonder why so many souls would seek to come here, would in fact push and shove to gain admittance to this plane of being on this sphere at this time. Word has it that everyone knows of the opportunities that abound in such a time, but few are prepared for the sensory blandishments, and truth be told, a lot of people only came here for these. I tend to be overly optimistic about the human race, and especially given what my own experiences have shown me time and time again. There are ironies aplenty in these times. Abortion is one of them, but I wouldn't wander into that area of speculation and debate at this time. I simply note their ironies, and there are so many of them that were one motivated to desperate or cynical humor, they would never stop laughing. I don't think it would be a pleasant sound, not like Hotai or Bacchus in good humor, more like the sound of a raven on a naked winter tree limb. It probably explains why there is so much gallows humor among those who work amidst the dead and dying, and as for the latter, among those expecting and not expecting. I suppose the same applies to those of us who walk among the dead and dying. It might be said that all of us do, but only a few of us recognize that fact. It is the least pleasant aspect that anyone wants to admit to, because it creates a tarnish on all those wonderful days and nights, those hours and minutes, weeks and months and years, as the case may be. It transforms tiptoeing through the tulips into stumbling through the nightshade. One is certainly a plant and a flower, and the other might or might not be, given Given that life is occasionally real and more often than not a fantasy, since life is a projection of the mind and it is the nature of the mind to produce fantasy. Either the truth is far more mundane than I have found it to be, or far more threatening than I have found it to be. In the first case, it probably falls short of the hopes of adrenaline junkies in its preliminary appearances and produces phantasms galore for the fearful. Neither of these, I suspect, is really the truth, but many a facsimile are to be found, and more certainly never so much than when one presumes that the truth has appeared, and never more certainly and profusely than in times of material darkness. Well, I'm glad we got all of that out of the way and didn't run into it later on. Not to say that these aren't important. Some things are relative to how important one considers them to be. Truthfully, it or they may be as important, period, and across the board, but are only found important by a few. This is one of the cardinal reasons why talking about such things is so difficult. Hardly anyone wants to hear about them, and of those who do, the largest number are only interested in arguing about these things because the importance of their opinion is greater in their minds than the subject matter itself. This is how it is in academe and in the ivory tower think tanks. It's this way wherever experts, who are usually wrong about everything, get together to preen like peacocks in a petting zoo. It is a petting zoo here, and your biggest concern should be who is petting you and who is grooming you, and most especially important is why. Many esoteric writers have had a great deal to say about the invisible worlds. These worlds are not invisible to everyone. There are some few who see into them, and a very rare few who see what is really there. Often, those communicating and interpreting what we see are known to lie, and these are the ones you usually find at the portals by which one enters into the invisible worlds across any of the usual currents that travel runs on, be it a mental current or an emotional current or any of what's available. It would be a highway of vibration, and the current of perception would also be a highway of vibration, and they might be the same. Travel and understanding might move up on the same course, as they do when one leaves this veil of experiences. Sometimes when leaving, understanding is prominent in its absence, but that has a lot to do with what one did here in their residence and the state in which they left here. Back at the turn of the last century, and for somewhere around 30 years on either side of it, there was a renaissance of spiritual thought. The Theosophists were part of this, as were many another smaller and even more esoteric group, and of course some number of lone wolves. Much has been said in recent times by agenda-driven or deluded souls who fancy they are in a position to cast doubt and dishonor upon the writers and thinkers of that time. One would be far better improved by reading what was said and considering the meaning of what one reads, rather than wholesale dismissing things that often enough one put no time into reading or studying, but took the quick route of accepting censure placed upon these writers by some popular modern naysayer. These are times of universal deceit, and there are only two possible motivations for this. One is the pursuit of gain, and the other is the spiritual corruption of everyone in reach. In both of these cases, personal gain is the motivation. On the one hand, it is material and very temporary, and on the other hand, it is spiritual and still temporary, though the reach of time can be considerably longer than the span of an ordinary life. You see, souls are currency just like money, but their areas of value are different. Arrangements are made between certain individuals and the Prince of Darkness for certain allotted spans of operation, and the payoff comes in material fashion and spiritual fashion. The Rothschild dynasty can be supposed to be one of these, and it accounts for their existence over the longer course. There are others whose names are not known and who have been around a deal longer. Eventually, though, their time runs out and they are consigned to whatever result was agreed upon, and it is inevitably something no sane mind would consider. Sanity is relative, though, and often very hard to define, especially in times like these, when very few of us are sane, and those who are considered crazy by everyone else. In any case, the writers of the times mentioned earlier include among their numbers some very well-informed individuals whose commentaries are well worth considering. This Renaissance came about because that was the entry point cusp period of the ending of the Piscean Age and the beginning of the Aquarian Age. We are now in the exit point of that cusp period and are emerging into the Aquarian Age. As anyone who has studied the events of the earlier periods of any particular age, the one thing that stands out is that it involves significant changes. These changes may not seem so dramatic the further back you go, and the more you have been conditioned by manufactured history. The more important feature to my mind is what people came to believe about how God or the gods operated and influenced human thought and culture. Presently, we are in a cauldron of change that is represented by faithlessness on the one hand and fundamentalism on the other. And on the third hand, supposing there is a third hand, and certainly statues of Hindu gods indicate that some entities have more than two hands, on the third hand, we have the creation of entirely new religions that don't reflect either of the other two, but are certainly in the pursuit of creating faithlessness or fundamentalism. Scientology, among others, comes to mind. On the fourth hand, there is everything else. Some of it, though, is yet unseen, is emergent and not inclining toward faithlessness or fundamentalism. The point being that while our vision is obscured by all that last gasp of millions of chattering chipmunks cheerleading for every failed or outdated system that has run its course, something bright and beautiful, strange and new, is creeping toward center stage. Much has been made of the coming avatar by all sorts of individuals. I am not here to affirm or refute any of them. I am here to say that at no time in any memory of times past has there been such a number of us resident here, and it seems apparent to me that whatever avatar they may well be shall come in the hearts of those prepared for the arrival and not necessarily as a single entity. At the same time, this may well happen, but the influence will be largely from within wherever habitation has been provided. It could well be, though, that so many of us depart in not too distant future and in such large numbers that few enough remain where the numbers have been reduced sufficiently to make the appearance of a single individual more feasible. Feasible, yeah. Makes me laugh to use a term like that. Well, we're just talking here, and the listener can take away from what is said whatever they like. We make no claims of unshakable authenticity. We hear things and we report on them. It is up to the ones who hear these things and the movement of the times as to stand as proof or denial of these things, which actually counts. I don't know one way or the other if what I say is true. I do know that much of what I hear is an obvious lie, not from within, but from without, and that somehow has taken upon itself the simulation of truth in the minds that believe it, whatever it may be. That one thing is a lie does not make some counterpart true. All may be lies. I could be misled and misinformed. I would be saddened to learn this and seriously motivated to correct my errors in judgment, but I don't actually know. I simply share what I am told and what I am motivated to say without often knowing where it comes from, because sometimes it is direct conversing, and sometimes it is a matter of direct impress that is communicated beyond the reach of my analytic awareness. All of us have events like this and experience, well, hunches and leanings that later turn out to be prescient. Few of us work on developing these capacities and give our whole being to the consideration of this development. Some place less emphasis on these things and more upon simple issues of faith and duty. Some think such powers and abilities are dangerous and prefer that groveling humility as opposed to the natural humility that comes from the possession of a true perspective of one's place in the scheme of things. What is really dangerous is false humility and unfortunate judgments placed on what should be the natural and normal state of an awakened humanity, and which is slandered with suspicions and inappropriate terms that are the seed sources of things like the Inquisition, witch burnings, and all the rest of the satanically possessed side of organized religions, which have provided us with such a spectacle of abuses that have come to light in this apocalypse. Out with the old and in with the new. Out with the old and in with the new. We shall see where this all leads us as time goes by. Personally, I'm in one of the most uncertain periods of my life. But I've been here before. I wasn't as old as I am now, and the times were not so threatening and uncertain, but my state is nowhere near as desperate and confining as that of a great many others. Hundreds of millions of souls are stretched to the limits of their endurance by a handful of privileged psychopaths and monsters who run amok, who live only toward the means justifying the end. If one could see into the invisible worlds at this time, there would be a sight to behold in those closest to this plane of being. The only constant in material life is change, and no one knows for certain what the outcome of our present circumstances will be. We've heard plenty by this time and seen little of it materialize in any recognizable way. The more the experts bleed on in their ignorance, the more they are proven wrong according to their timelines and projections of what they think will happen. This is not to say that some have not accurately nailed the whole of it, but they are not holding forth on the wide information superhighways either. All right, my friends, we've come to the end of yet another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, strive for a greater clarity and understanding. God knows we could all use more of both. And that said, Om Amitabha, Allah Akbar, Hare Krishna, Hail Lord Jesus Christ, much love, Lady Nature, greetings, my good friend, Lord Ganesha, carry on, Baha'u'llah, aloha, and haru!
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. No one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing love and truth. He's bringing freedom. A call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.